Though we are talking a matter of fact, and we're joined by Kate Wilkinson from Africa Check. We invited you to submit those claims that are often used in public discourse that you want more clarity on. When we started our conversations with Kate, we handpicked a couple of them ourselves. But as these conversations with her have evolved, you have also assisted us with highlighting which claims you want to be debunked or demystified, or to have the myth busted with Kate. So today we have three of your questions. Good afternoon, Kate.
Good afternoon.
I was quite impressed with these.
Yeah, I think we've got an interesting spread here, and it's really nice to see the listeners getting in touch and telling us what they want fact-checked, because we all live in our own bubbles and we all have the things that we think are important and what should be checked and busted, and you know, what facts should be sorted from fiction. But we actually want to know what people are talking about,
right,
and what facts and claims are being tossed over the dinner table and around the braai and in bars. And I think we have a little snapshot of what people are talking about at the moment.
Yes, and especially as the new cycle evolves, the new issues that will need clarification or busting. So the first one, let's get to it. And it says, can Kate refute or confirm AfriForum's claim that there are four times as many murders on farms than any other community, even the most crime-ridden African townships or informal settlements? I know that's the second one, but let's start there, Kate.
Yeah,
my apologies.
So this was one of a listener suggestion who got in touch, and we know that just recently we had protests against farm attacks and murders, and actually this Thursday we're going to see another protest with a march to the union buildings against farm attacks and murders and calling for better police support and intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And this claim, which was made, the listener referred especially to AfriForum's claim, and it was actually a statistic which they put out in which they claimed that the murder rate for farmers was 4.5 times higher than the murder rate for South African citizens at a national level.
Mm-hmm.
So before we move on to that issue, I think we just need to deal with how the question was phrased by the listener.
Yes.
The first thing is that I haven't seen AfriForum saying that there are more farm murders than murders in any other area, whether it be a suburb or a township or something like that. So that's one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second important thing we have to remember is that we spoke about this in the first show, I think, how there's a difference between the number of murders and the murder rate.
Yes.
And there's a special calculation you have to do. And we know that in the last year that we have statistics for farm murders, that was 2016-17, there were 74 people who were killed, and they were recorded as farm murders by the police.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that there are definitely communities and police stations around the country where they record far higher than 74 murders per year.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the top station is actually in Yanga in the Western Cape, and in that same year they recorded 281 murders at that one station. It was followed by Inanda in KwaZulu-Natal with 207 murders, Umlazi also in KZN with 187, Delft in the Western Cape with 183, and then number five is Khayelitsha in the Western Cape with 179 murders.
With the release of our own crime figures in Joburg, Ivory Park, for instance, came out as quite problematic, not only the performance of the station itself, but even just the numbers of murders in Ivory Park were quite concerning.
Absolutely. So now we need to think about this idea of a farm murder rate. And this is a statistic and a number which AfriForum has put out, and they've claimed that farmers are murdered at 156 murders per 100,000 farmers. Mm-hmm. And they claim that this is 4.5 times higher than the South African murder rate of 34.1 murders per 100,000. So there are a few problems that we've highlighted with this over the years. And the first problem is, in order to calculate this number, you need two numbers. The first number is you need the number of people who have been killed and have been recorded as being victims of farm murders.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very specific definition that the police use, and you can be a victim of a farm murder if you're working, living, residing, or visiting a farm. So it's not just farmers who can be victims. And secondly, there have been concerns that these police statistics may actually not be accurate and may be an undercount, because experts think that while farmers might be quite accurately represented, other people like workers and workers' families who are also killed in these attacks may not make it into these statistics, because it's not there isn't a crime category called farm murders or farm attacks.
Right.
It's not like murder or assault. It's not like something you can just type into the police's crime stats and it'll give you the numbers. It requires the local police to say, that is a farm murder. We identified as a farm murder and we're going to report it to National SAPS. But if that doesn't happen, they just won't make it onto the system.
Yes. So it may be higher when you take into consideration rural communities or farming communities, all of farming, the entire farming community of all shapes and sizes, small holdings, big commercial farms and everything else in between.
Absolutely. And so now if we could get this perfect first number of how many people have been killed on farms, that would be step one. Step two would be, we need to know the size of the potential victim pool. So in South Africa, when we calculate the murder rate, we take all the murders in South Africa, and then we take all the people that live in South Africa, and we can calculate the murder rate. The tricky thing with calculating a farm murder rate is that we actually don't know how many people are living on farms in South Africa, and probably more importantly to this debate, we don't know how many farmers there are in South Africa. Previously, a few people have tried to massage some numbers and used either statistics from SAPS or from the Transvaal Agricultural Union, and then they've used a figure from the 2007 Commercial Agricultural Census. And in that census, they estimated that there were just over 32,000 full-time farmers.
Okay.
But there's a big problem. There are a few problems with using that statistic. First of all, it's only commercial farmers who were registered to pay VAT
who are counted
in that number. And so, like you said, there's a wide range of what farming is. And we have everything from a small holding where there is agricultural to huge, enormous commercial setups. And we just, we know that that number of 32,000 doesn't represent all those people, because you have to be earning more than 300,000 rand to qualify for VAT. So what we have is we have a sticky, tricky situation where unfortunately there's no clear answer, and people don't like that.
Yeah,
and
I was about to say, are we starting with a myth that cannot be busted or claimed?
People like a stamp, you know, that this is true, this is false. But unfortunately, when it comes to farm murders, at the moment, we just, all of the farm murder rates which are in the public domain are unsubstantiated, and you should be cautious and question anyone that you see. We're going to be publishing something later this week which explores this theme a bit more and looks at our attempts to get closer to the truth. But at the moment, we can't say for sure that farmers are 4.5 times more likely to be killed than an average South African.
Right. I hope that clarifies that. If you have any comments or questions, the lines are open to you. 011-883-0702. Kate Wilkinson from Africa Check, as we talk about some of the claims that get thrown around in the public arena, and often we just accept them. They go on to be used even as official pieces of information, and what is the veracity? This is where we test the veracity of these claims and try and bring you the facts. So 011-883-0702. We go on to a second question that you forwarded to us, that you wanted Africa Check to take a closer look at, and it has to do with Mayor Herman Mashaba. The question from one of our listeners reads, can Africa Check refute or confirm Mayor Mashaba's claim that approximately 80% of Joburg's inner city residents are foreign migrant Africans?
So this is a claim which the mayor has made a number of times in the past year, really. And we were actually asked to check it a few months ago when we looked at the statistic. And the first question we had is, well, what is the inner city? Do you know what wards is it? What areas are we including? What are we excluding? Great. So we actually got in touch with the mayor's office and we asked them to confirm this. And they said they were referring to 10 wards. And if you want to know exactly what wards those are, you can go to our website, africacheck.org, and you'll be able to see the list of them.
Yeah.
And then importantly, another comment which came from the mayor's office was that his statement needed to be understood and read in the context of his experience with hijacked buildings in the inner city.
And maybe he should have said that.
Yeah.
Based on my opinion, 80%.
Yeah. So we said, well, if this is the mayor's opinion, we want to know if there are any facts to back it up. So what one of our researchers did was we went to look for the facts, and we were actually really lucky in this case because we found three good data sources, which mm-hmm. gave us quite a good little peek into what's happening in the inner city and the level and the number of migrants who call those wards home. Mm-hmm. So what we can do is we can start with the first data source. And this is a quality of life survey, which is done by the Gauteng City Region Observatory. And they did it for the last time in 2015-16. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they survey 30,000 respondents, and they get a whole number of answers on a lot of different issues that give insight into quality of life. And we asked them to do a special analysis to look at the wards, which the mayor had highlighted that he was referring to,
yeah.
and then to identify what percentage of those people who had responded had moved from another country. So we have to remember there isn't just one type of migration. It's not just someone moving from Zimbabwe to South Africa or, you know, Namibia to South Africa. There's also migration inside a country. Mm. People move from the Western Cape to Gauteng, from the Eastern Cape to KwaZulu-Natal. Mm. And we're all migrants in some way. So this survey looked at the two forms of migration, the one, which is migration from another country into Gauteng.
Yeah.
And what they found was for the people living in the inner city wards, 26.2% of them had migrated from another country to Gauteng.
Right.
So they were international migrants.
Mm-hmm.
If we think about a lot of the xenophobia and the rhetoric around migration and migrants in the inner city, these are the people which are often the target of it and who yeah. we're speaking about.
Yeah.
If we want
26.2%, so that's from that 80.
Yeah. So if we then want to look at internal migration, so people who have also moved to Gauteng but not necessarily from another country, mm-hmm. that was at about 25.4%. So that's our first data source we looked at. And like you said, it doesn't line up with the mayor's figures and doesn't seem to support him at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we never stop at one data source because you need a spread. You need to be able to look at multiple, compare them. Yes, contrast them. Are there weaknesses? Are there strengths?
Yeah.
So we then went on to another report. And this, interestingly, was by the city's social development department. And it was a report that they conducted on 5 raids of derelict buildings in Doornfontein in July 2017. So this is quite recent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first of all, limitations here. We're only looking at 5 buildings and we're only looking in 1 ward. So this is not
representation
an
of
accurate
the entire,
representation, yeah. but it is a city document. It does provide city data into one raid and what they found.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this lined up with the mayor's thinking, then maybe, you know, we could start to piece it together. But unfortunately, it didn't either. So what the report did was it profiled 183 residents,
yeah.
and it found that only 30.6% of them were foreign nationals. Again, this is a far, far cry from the figure.
Yeah, it's quite close to the earlier one, in fact, at 26.2%.
It is. And the majority of the foreign nationals were undocumented. And in that case, the Department of Home Affairs then detained them and processed them through the system.
Mm.
And then a third data source. And this another, if we look at a limitation here, this is a bit old. We have to go back to the 2011 census if we want to look into specific wards, because StatsSA hasn't finished processing the data from the 2016 community survey. So we have to go a little bit further back. But we used a great online tool called WASI Map, which mm-hmm. lets you look at the area you live in and gives you a whole breakdown of everything you could ever wish to
know.
Wow.
And
what we found was if you look at all the wards that you list, the ward with the highest percentage of foreign migrants was actually Berea or Bertrams.
Mm-hmm.
And in that ward, 43% of the residents there were foreign born. But that was the highest it got. The lowest was in Fordsburg or Mayfair, where it was 18%, and the rest were in between. So you can see now we have 3 data sets.
Yes.
We have the first one from the Quality of Life Survey, which puts foreign migrants at just over 26%. We have a study of raids in 5 buildings in Doornfontein, where 30% of the people who were profiled were foreign.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the 2011 census, where in the wards which were talking about, the highest percentage we ever got to was 43%.
Sure. And this is very important, because when we throw around statements like that 80% of the residents in the city of Joburg are foreign migrants and so on, it's something that informs policy. You know, we have to operate from a place of having real facts and information, because we use that to inform policy. We use that, it shapes perceptions.
Absolutely. And I mean, policy is one thing, because a city or a government is laboring under the belief that there's a dire problem to be fixed, resources are going to be allocated there, even if that problem doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
But also importantly, like you mentioned, not only policy is impacted, but perception, public perception. The way we treat our neighbors, the way we interact with people, the way we hire or fire is impacted by the words that we hear about the people that we live with.
Mm. Just even how we regard the inner city would be like, why should there be investment? It's not for South Africans. And, you know, the kind of vitriolic statements that we, very xenophobic statements that have come out of our mouths as South Africans are often informed by information such as this. So what did the mayor's people say about this?
So what we do is whenever we do a fact check, we're in contact with the person we're fact checking multiple times. So the moment we start, we get in touch with them because we always want to give them the benefit of the doubt. We work from the assumption that they have evidence to back up their claim. Because if you start fact checking thinking that someone's wrong, thinking, oh, that Herman Mashaba, he's wrong, you'll tend to find something to support your preconceived idea and your bias. So we start from that understanding that he's right, he has evidence to support it. We ask him for that evidence, and that's when we got the response about his personal experiences.
So it came about from the raids that had been conducted of the buildings in town.
That he had personally gone to visit and take part in. And then we always then send the findings of our report to the person for them to comment.
Mm.
And maybe they, having seen the evidence, they'll change their mind and they'll then go forward and make accurate statements. And we did get a response, but really it was a bit of a non-answer in that he didn't really address how his opinion varied from the statistics that we had found. And that response is actually posted at length on the report, which we will tweet.
Fantastic.
And so you know,
both.
You can go and read, because we always will want to present both sides of the argument so that readers can make an informed decision about where they think the truth lies.
Absolutely. Let's get on to our third one. We got another email that said, is it fact that South Africans are the second most obese nation in the world after the US? Never heard that one before. I thought it was on the continent that we were the most obese. Now in the world after the US? Jeez.
Yeah, so it's interesting how a lot of the beliefs that we hold about ourselves and we hold on to quite strongly are often quite negative. We sometimes seem to take like a perverse enjoyment in believing terrible things about ourselves and arguing that they must be true. But this is actually something that we've looked into a couple times in a couple different ways. And how obesity is measured is it's good old BMI, so that's body mass index. And what it does is it looks at how tall you are and it looks at how much you weigh and it works out a ratio so that you can compare people of different heights and different weights in a semi sort of even way.
Mm-hmm.
There are problems with BMI because not everyone carries weight in the same way. You could have a bodybuilder who has a BMI that says they're obese, but they're actually really healthy. And they could have the same BMI as someone who is really obese, and they wouldn't be the same.
Right.
But it's a way that...
So as a measurement, it's flawed in itself.
Lots of measurements have flaws, but this is the best way we have at the moment to compare nearly 200 countries around the world.
Sure, yeah.
And they're probably more pros than cons in using this form of measurement.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to the rankings, the listeners can be relieved that we are not the second most obese country in the world.
After the US.
After the US. And for any American listeners in 702 land, you can be relieved that your country isn't the most obese country in the world either. Actually, there's no truth in this fact, this false fact, which gets passed around. The island actually that tops the rankings is Nauru, where 61% of the adult population is classified as being obese.
An island called Nauru.
Nauru.
Nauru, yeah. First place.
And that is followed by the Cook Islands at 55.9%.
What's with the islands?
Palau at 55.3%. The Marshall Islands at 52.9%. And Tuvalu at 51.6%. The USA has 36.2% of its population, which is obese.
Mm-hmm.
In South Africa, we don't need a drum roll, but South Africa was ranked 30th in 2016.
And this is out of 191 countries.
Yes. And so when it came to the percentage of our adult population, which is obese, it's 28.3%. But of course, there are lots of different ways to measure it. If we include those that are overweight, so that's a BMI over 25, obesity is over 30, mm-hmm. then our ranking internationally drops to 103rd place.
Wow.
But it then means that more than half of South African adults, that's 53.8%, are considered overweight. And unfortunately, it's worse for women in South Africa because that stands at 65.4%.
Wow, that clarified that. At least there's a clear and outright way of disproving or confirming this particular claim. So depending on what you're measuring, whether it's obesity or overweightness, we're either 30th or what was the other?
103rd,
which is fantastic. It's not bad at all. Yes, we're competitive like that. So we're not second. So I'm glad. I'm glad that this one we were able to prove without a shadow of a doubt. There's an SMS or tweet, rather. Let's go back to it. Gaugelo had sent through a tweet earlier on, also asking that Africa Check look into a claim that he had come across. And he says the Gauteng Provincial Police Commissioner claimed last week that 60% of all violent crime arrests in GP were foreigners. Is it true? How did they get to that number? He wants to know. So can we look into this one?
Absolutely. We're actually doing it at the moment. And I love the questions that he asked. Is it true, first of all? And how did they reach that conclusion?
Yeah.
Because those are the exact same questions that we've been asking the police and trying to get the answer. So if you tune in 2 weeks, we should have it for
when
you.
When Kate comes back in 2 weeks, we'll have an answer for you there, Gaugelo. But keep your emails coming as well. It's been lovely to get your response. Responses to our conversations with Kate in this feature with Africa Check that we call A Matter of Fact. And you can go on to their website, of course, africacheck.org, and literally take a closer look at the three that we've put forward today, as well as a whole host of others. They'll have you sitting on that site for the entire day. Thank you, as always, Kate.
Thank you so much.
That was Kate Wilkinson from Africa Check with those three questions. So if there are any claims that you think need busting or confirming, email me, azania@702.co.za.